When we went down to Peru, the pastor in Cusco, really wonderful guy. I thought he looked, you know, I knew everybody was Spanish down there. This guy looked like a little strange kind of Spanish. Come to find out he was actually Chinese, you know, but oh well. But he said something interesting to me that he asked me to kind of take with me and just think about. When I got back to the States, he said, you know, John, if I could leave you with anything before you go, it would be this. He said, just be normal. Just be normal. And I can relate to that, you know, because, I mean, we do serve an amazing God. But we can get, you know, just a little strange sometimes if we get carried away. But when I thought about it, the more I thought about it, you know, maybe normal isn't quite the word I'd be looking for. I was thinking maybe just be real. What do you think? Just be real. Because actually, God does impact our lives in a profound way sometimes. I mean, he radically changes our life. But we don't have to put on anything because of that. We can just be real and just be us and let God be God. And when God is God inside of us, man, it's just a beautiful thing. So just be real. But in light of that, because of the fact that God can change us in some dramatic ways sometimes, let me ask you a question. How does one respond to somebody who claims to have had an encounter with God through Jesus Christ? When someone you know who maybe was just involved in all kinds of worldly activity and all kinds of dysfunction and all kinds of craziness in their life suddenly is different. And they say, man, I've had an encounter with God. I have met Jesus Christ. How do you respond to a person like that? And I guess it all depends upon who you are. I get overjoyed at something like that. I'm ready to give them a hug and say, man, praise God, brother, welcome into the kingdom. But you know, out in the world, you get all kinds of different responses. I remember when I got saved, my mom took me to a crusade back in August of 1980. And I heard the gospel like I'd never heard it before. I went just to hear the music. My mom said, you know, come check out some Christian music, man. Stop listening to all that real dark stuff, you know. And so I was like, what the heck, you know. And I went there, and I felt like I actually met Jesus through the preaching. His presence was so real. And I just fell in love with him, man. What can I say? You know, I was just, it rocked my world. And I came out a different man than I went in. But, you know, people weren't really sure how to respond to me when I came out of that place and I went back into my normal day-to-day world because they noticed that something had changed and they weren't really sure what that was all about. I'll never forget this one guy, this high school buddy of mine. I'd been out of high school for a few years, maybe about 3 or 4 years, and I got a call one day from one of my old partying buddies. We used to go out and just do stuff we shouldn't be doing. And he looked up my number. He said, John, man, this is, I won't say his name. He's like, how are you doing, man? It's been a long time. I was like, oh, it's so good to hear from you. This is so cool. He's like, so tell me, man, you know, what have you been up to? I was like, oh, this is so cool. You wouldn't believe it. I went to this crusade. I remember my exact words. I said, I went to this crusade and I found Jesus. And there was this long, awkward pause. Total silence on the other end. And you can almost hear the wheels in his brain just scrambling for a response and not knowing what to say. And after a long silence, he kind of says, really? I was like, yeah. And I was excited. I just told him what happened, went to the crusade, blah, 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 you know, accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior and so on and so forth. And, you know, it was amazing for someone that I was so close to who hadn't seen me or talked to me in so many years, we had an amazingly short conversation. Okay, well, that's great, man. Well, good to talk to you. Nice to, you know, hope to see you sometime. Goodbye. And then I didn't hear from him again for like 17 years. And I was living on the shore by then, and he, you know, he wrote me a letter and said, hey, you know, I was looking up something. I happened to see your name on the internet, and I wondered if this was, you know, the same John, you know, from high school, and also if this is you, just let me know. I guess he figured it must have wore off by then. It was probably safe to go back in the water, you know. Not. So I got all excited. I wrote him a letter back. I said, yeah, hey, this is so cool. Wow. I started telling him all about the church and all the things we've been doing. And I sent him a cassette tape of some Christian songs that I'd, you know, recorded and stuff like that. Never heard back from the guy again. And that was 10 years ago. Yeah, I guess he's like, I'm not going back in that water, man. That guy is just, he's toast. Forget about it. But the reactions to my getting saved from all different kinds of people were really varied and just all over the map as far as the different reactions. I remember my sweet, loving, precious wife looked at me that one afternoon. We were in the apartment back then, and she just, you know, had that strange look on her face. She said, you've changed. And it was like she wasn't sure if that was a good thing or a bad thing. It was just different. Something's different. She was just kind of weighing it and checking it out. I remember my mom, when I went down to the altar to receive Christ and came back, she was like, I thought you were already saved. But she had no clue. I don't know. All my relatives, you know, that had known me over the years that I think had come to the conclusion that I was just basically some kind of basket case anyway. You know, when I came back from that crusade, they just figured, well, this is just another basket in the case, man. He's just gone way off the deep end now. Now he's got religion. We'll just see where this goes. But, you know, oh, well. And so they kind of just watched me from a distance, you know. They were just like checking me out and whispering and kind of like, we'll see where this goes and just kind of taking notes. But the weird thing is, when you get saved, sometimes the most hostile reaction, the most aggressive, defensive, hostile reaction you get are from religious people. People who have spent their life in the church, maybe go every Sunday or at least twice a year or something and claim, you know, to really be religious. I was amazed at how aggressive some of these people reacted to the fact that I said I got saved. I mean, they were downright angry at me. And they would make little, you know, these little innuendo comments that are meant to kind of cut you a little bit and just kind of like patronize you or just kind of hurt your feelings a little bit just to let you know how disdainful they were of all this whole, religious thing that you've got going on. And it's kind of ironic, you know, and when I say religious people, I don't mean, you know, in the old time sense of the word, religion used to mean a daily devotion with God, a daily walk with God. It was a regular practice. You were always there. And when you read some of the old writings of some of the old saints, that's what they meant. But I mean religious in the sense of having a form of religion, but denying the power thereof. Being an outward, external kind of a going through the motions, but there's no life, there's no power, there's no grace. There's nothing on the inside. It's just a shell. It's just a dried up, dead, lifeless shell of people going through the motions, trying desperately to keep the rules, or at least look like they're keeping the rules. But there's no life inside. They've never been born again. They don't have a living, vital relationship with Jesus Christ. And it's those people in that very situation who are sometimes the most hostile and aggressive to people who say that they've been born again, that they've had an encounter with God through Jesus Christ. And the reason why I believe is that religion without a relationship only brings bondage. Let me say that again. Religion without a relationship only brings bondage. It brings death. It brings chains, man, because you're trying to do something that you don't have the power to do. Rather than drawing us closer to God, religion without a relationship with Christ actually draws us farther away from God, pulls us away. Instead of allowing us to see God in all of His glory and beauty and grace, it actually blinds us to God, because religion in that sense is not about God at all. It's all about us, me. It's about how I perform, how I keep the rules, how I try to climb the ladder to earn God's love and earn His approval as if it could be earned, or as if He didn't want to pour it out on us freely. Because that's who He is. He's just a loving, gracious God. So we want to look at a man today. When we get into the Word today, we want to look at a man who had an encounter with God through Jesus Christ. And we want to look at the reactions of the people around him, how they responded to his encounter with God. And I think you'll see that the more things change, the more things stay the same. People are people. There's nothing new under the sun. And what happened to this gentleman 2,000 years ago happens all around us today. And how do they, not only how they do they respond to us, but how do we respond to their response? What do we do in that situation? So let's turn to John chapter 9, starting at verse 8. We're going to read a huge section of scripture today. We're just going to read it all at once and get it out of the way. But there's no real way to break this down into a lot of different parts. So we want to just take this in one big bite. Last time we were in the book of John, 2 weeks ago, we looked at this man and his encounter with God and how he got healed. This time we want to look at the reactions of the people to that. And if you weren't here 2 weeks ago, just by way of background or just to refresh your memory, we saw that Jesus was with his disciples. They were in Jerusalem. And as they were passing by, thank you, somebody remembered. Do that again, Nathan. Thank you. As they were passing by, they came across a man who had been blind from birth. And his disciples wanted to debate about this guy. You know, how come he was in this condition? What sins did he commit? Or what did his parents commit? And Jesus just wanted to heal the guy. So he spat on the ground and he got some dirt and made some clay with his spittle. And he anointed the man's eyes with the clay. And he said, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And so the guy did. He went and he washed and he came back seeing. Now that was the healing. Now let's look at the reactions of the people to that.